Three words to remember in that last song, moment by moment. If you couldn't see the words, that's the message. Moment by moment. 1 Corinthians 1:9, please. Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 9, God is faithful, through whom we were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Called into fellowship. And then again, just two verses there in 1 John, chapter 1, verse 3. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And just one more verse in John 15. John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And then, just in preparing our hearts, turn over to Jeremiah 45. I'm not going to scare you, but let's read the whole chapter. It's a very short chapter, but it's a great summary of the entire book of Jeremiah. There is judgment, there is overcoming, and of course there is God's blessing. Jeremiah 45, this is the message which Jeremiah the prophet spoke to Baruch, the son of Neriah, when he had written down these words in a book of Jeremiah's dictation, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to you, O Baruch. You said, ah, woe is me, for the Lord has added more sorrow to my pain. I am weary with my groaning and have found no rest. Thus you are to say to him, thus says the Lord, behold, what I have built, I am about to tear down. And what I have planted, I am about to uproot. That is the whole land. And then this fifth verse. But you, are you seeking great things for yourself? Do not seek them. For behold, I am going to bring disaster on all flesh, declares the Lord. But I will give your life to you as a booty, as a reward. in all the places where you may go. There is a way in this day of darkness. It's delineated right there. But it's not about thinking about ourselves. Brooke, die to yourself. Don't be thinking about yourself. Don't think about your preservation. Think about me. I'll take care of the rest. Let's prepare our hearts. Father, thank you for this weekend. Particularly thank you for your table. Again, inviting us, lame Mephibosheth, to your table and say, eat daily, hourly, moment by moment. May we learn this lesson. Lord, we need an anointing even right now for speaking. We need an anointing for listening. Give us your anointing. Speak, for your servants are listening. In Christ's name, amen. I have been mentioning really over and over about the day and age in which we live. And I think one of the diversion tactics of the enemy is to cause us to look at Washington. And that has caused much. It's such a distraction, particularly this past year, just one event, the election, to say nothing of terrorist events and all the happenings that go on around the world. But we, you and I, we have a full-time job learning a new habit, moment by moment. It's always been there. I believe the enemy, coupled with our flesh and the world, has counterfeited, camouflaged God's intention with all types of things, stuff, that steal this intimacy with the Lord. We're very thankful that we have a time of worship, we call it. It has become a method, it has become a formula, it has become a standard that before a service in from a house church to the largest mega church, that there is this time of worship. We thank the Lord for that. But it has subtly taken the place of 24/7. We don't think of worship necessarily changing diapers, doing dishes, driving on the freeway, all the mundane things that we do. And it doesn't matter, I'll say this to you younger people, it doesn't matter what job you think would be the ideal job. There is tedium things in it. There's mundane. Those actually are our salvation. Tradition is good, providing there is reality. We need that tradition, as Ben was saying this morning, 1 Corinthians 11. We have an anchor. I might just add to something that Ben said. When it comes to the table, we haven't heard it all. The table is Christ, and it's infinite. We will never plumb the depth. 1,000 brothers could get up for 1,000 years and never touch on the same thing the same way. It's infinite. Just like the astronomers are finding out. There are billions of galaxies. And all of a sudden, 2 weeks ago, wow. They've upped it a little bit. There's trillions. Two, but most likely four, and, as the scientists went up, and probably more. We know the answer to that, don't we? Infinite. There's no way of getting out there. And if you go the other direction to the microscopic, can't plumb the depth of that either. Infinite, infinite. Who's the creator of all that? Of when we just remember. Is there an end? There is no end. And so, speaking to the brothers for a minute, when you have the privilege of, or the Lord lays something on your heart, may someone ask you to open the Lord's table, just ask the Lord. Don't go to a commentary on 1 Corinthians 11. Just ask the Lord some other facet of this glorious King, this glorious Creator. He'll show you something that never seen before. It'll be fresh to you. And when it's fresh to you, it'll be fresh to everyone else. That's the secret. This is our calling. We've been called into fellowship. The Bible uses this word many, many times, called, calling. There are different facets of it. We've been called into salvation. Come unto me. That's our first calling. Come unto me. All you are heavy up. Help me. Weary and heavy laden. And I will give you rest. We have been looking at this koinonia, called into fellowship, called into oneness, called into communion with the Lord, called to abide in Him. There is called into His kingdom. Called, it's a holy calling. Called to minister. Called out of this world. What's that word? Greek word. Ekklesia. Called out of it. That's the word I always think of our brother Abraham. Called out. Cross the river. We're Hebrews. True Hebrews. True Jews. The true sons of Abraham. Called out that ecclesia and called into glory. But the God of glory, of all grace, has called us into His eternal glory in Christ Jesus. This morning, for a few minutes that we have, we want to just discuss recovery and the fruit of fellowship. The recovery and the fruit of fellowship. In one word, we could say the recovery is quite simple. God does it. He does it all. And this has been prayed by many of you this weekend. You have experienced this in the past. We've all failed and we keep failing, and it brings us back to God has to do it. Because we try to do something on our own. It's just a tendency of man. And our failure actually becomes one of the allies God uses. Because we fail, and we fail, and we fail. Finally, being dull, we wake up. That doesn't work. I'm going to let God do that. So we let God handle our marriage. We let God change the spirit of our children. As children, there's things that we can do. As parents, we can do certain things to a certain age. And all of a sudden, that will rises up. It can be at 10 days old. And there are little disciplines that a parent does that relates to the age, the temperament of that person to deal with that will. And as the child grows older, there comes a time where the parent says, "They're yours, Lord." That nowadays that can be 10 years old, can be very young. Parent can do sometimes limited things, but one thing a parent cannot do to a one-day-old baby or a 21-year-old son, and that's touch the will. It's one of the mistakes we parents often make. We show our disapproval, trying to correct children with our frustrations. I mentioned the other day scolding. But none of that changes that spirit. In fact, it can provoke the child to anger. It can break the child's spirit. So we're, again, backed into a corner as parents. And we have to look to the Lord and learn to pray fervently, standing on holy ground. We have to be pure ourselves. Husband and wife have to be one. And then stand. And again, stand. And stand. And stand. And this will never end. It goes from children to grandchildren to great-grandchildren. It's the same thing in our fellowship. We stand and we stand and we stand. It's not by preaching. If the artillery hasn't gone out first and done the job, prayer, all the preaching in the world does no good, because it's God who softens the heart. It's God who prepares the heart. It's God who causes conviction. It's God who gives light. It's God who knows where the wadge is in our child's life and can expose it and can deal with it at all times. So it's God who does this work. Now, God, first of all, does this in this way. He gives us an example. It's the Lord, we saw this even when he was on earth, is the perfect teacher. And I'm sure Blair has learned many things about teaching just from observing the Lord. As parents, we can learn, or we can learn everything just from observing the Lord. And when we observe the Lord and the Father and the Holy Ghost, we see exactly what fellowship is all about. In John 17, read it in this light. There are over 40 times in those 20-some verses that God and Christ and the Holy Spirit are referred to as one. They're referred to, or they are inferred as a unit, as one. It also, over 40 times, shows the relationship between the Godhead and man. So we see right there in this wonderful prayer of Jesus, he's concerned about two things. His relationship with the Father, and he's still praying. He knows he's got his toughest test ahead of him, the cross. And he is praying for that which is utmost on his heart, and that is that we might be one with him. And that oneness is only going to occur by constant communication. An OB-GYN has a number of concerns about a mother carrying a baby. But there is one particular particular one that often comes up towards the end of the gestation period, and that is what? The cord wrapped around the baby. Why? Sever the life. That baby cannot go along if that cord is tied off, cut off some way. And it's absolutely no different spiritually. Death, we've already been talking about it, is in our innermost being. It's crouching at the door. Self wants to raise. Self wants to defend itself. And the enemy, using the world, he is the great puppeteer. And he uses the world to squeeze us and to keep that lifeline from functioning. But that lifeline is just simply, Lord, Lord, thank you. Inquire, supplicate, praise. Praise breaks down so many barriers. Why does the Apostle Paul say in 1 Corinthians 5:16, rejoice always? Do you think the Apostle Paul learned that lesson? We wrote it. Do you think it was real? What's one of your favorite stories? The Philippians, the jailhouse at Philippi. It's getting up at midnight in a hellish environment, praising the Lord. A lot different than the way we had it around the table this morning, as far as environment. But it was in here. The lifeline, though attempted by Satan, was to use beatings, physical, mental abuse, accusing, being falsely accused, locked in. What was the answer of to breaking those chains? Mental, physical? Rejoice always. In all things, I pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all things. Paul practiced what he preached. We have this beautiful 4 chapters there in Philippians of joy, written from jail. We are incarcerated in a very sinful world. And the Lord has given us a way. As we sang earlier today, the chains came off. Don't you love that saying? We're not talking about just salvation. We're talking about Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. No, we're actually talking about this afternoon. Because already, the enemy is not going to take any time off. He will be about his work. And he's got a lot of help from our flesh, from our self-life. So Jesus and the Father are our example of how to recover. They were in constant communion. And if we look at Jesus, and I'm just going to take a few minutes just to read a few scriptures without comment, just let the scripture. Jesus therefore answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself. This is the Son of God. This is the Creator of the universe. Can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. I can do nothing on my own initiative. Verse 30. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me." How does God judge? That's the way we're to judge. I don't know about you. I have to repent around the Lord's table, and this morning was no exception. Probably one of the most concentrated times of repentance in my life. I look up, why are they doing that? And I have to repent. And through repentance, begin to pray for that person. If there's something seemingly out of line. But the Lord Jesus judges the way the Father. This is why it's so important to know how he judges, to become familiar, so that we can judge, because he is in us. Let him do the judging. He does it with light. He does it with compassion. He does it with all the facts. Normally we don't, and that's why we just take it in to give that person, that situation, to the Lord. John 8, 28, 29. "And I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me." As the Father teaches us to speak kindly, gently. Do you know where we learn that? In our home. If we cannot speak kindly in our home, outside when we speak, it might seem to be kind, but it's hypocrisy. The test is right in our own family and then this family. And because the world sees otherwise, they're not affected. Our evangelism isn't this. It's this. Big difference. And this penetrates. When our heart is compassionate, when our spirit is right, we often use this word, good morning, good evening. That's to be a blessing. But like everything else, often it just becomes a perfunctory thing. Or we want them to think highly of us. Not concerned. It's a blessing. We want you to have a good day. That is the heart of a Christian. When we go into that, we have that opportunity just many times a day. Simple little example. We walk by a clerk in the supermarket. Her name is there. His name is there. We see it plainly. Did I get everything on my list? I got to get home. I got to go. I got to get this done. And that person is a blur. And if we have to wait a minute, we see no opportunity at all. It just frustrates because the person in front, they can't find their card. And all of these are opportunities to continue this communion and then say, "Trudy, how are you doing today?" And she'll tell you. She'll tell you. And it gives a wonderful opportunity in 1 minute just to say something to her. But we're so wrapped up in ourselves, we've cut the umbilical cord, the lifeline, and we see none of this. And so then we go to the meeting. We've got to have some classes on evangelism. We need to have a seminar on evangelism. It's right here. When we are communing with the Lord, we are evangels. Automatically. Don't have to be taught. Don't have to have the four spiritual laws. Though that. Not saying anything against it. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I know one person who didn't use the four spiritual laws. I've been in his home, Dr. Bill Bright, founder of Campus Crusade, and the originator of the four spiritual laws, something similar. But Bill was just a walking, effervescent brother of Christ. And he sat down on a plane, but he prayed about it before. Lord, you know, I'm going to sit by on the plane. And they would hear the gospel. Many times they were saved, going and coming. And he never pulled out the four spiritual laws. It was there, in him. He loved them. He had compassion for the lost. Gifted evangelist. And he who sent me is with me. He's not left me alone. For I always do the things that are pleasing to him. That's the 29th verse of John 8. John 12, 9. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me commandment what to say and what to speak. But when he spoke, the sea was calm. When he spoke, water was turned to wine. But remember, woman, my time has not come. What was he doing? He had asked permission. See how impulsive we are, impetuous compared to the Lord? And this is why we live in this severed life experience. Groping in darkness, trying to be Christians. And the very thing that we need, we have dismissed, scorned. One of the things we said, ignorance. And this is why we have a time of fellowship like that, to remind us, what does God want? And the way. And the way is through Christ. One last verse. He who does not love, do you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his work. Abide in me and you shall bear much fruit. Now there's the example. That's the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And now we come to the epistles. What do the epistles say? Christ, who is our life. That relationship established. God and his Son. Tight one. There never a brokenness. Not once. God then comes. Christ puts Christ in us. Via the Holy Spirit. Christ, who is our life, Colossians 3:4, the verse previous to that, hidden with Christ in God, Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27, Galatians 2:20, but Christ lives in me. He doesn't. This is our point. That's the main point, is that Christ, God does it. They've shown us how they did it. Those 33 and a half years. Just those 30 years of submissiveness. Oh, we can learn a lesson from that. It's wonderful. Clothed with power on high, Luke 24:29. Clothed with power from on high. Okay, the connection is there. We cannot do it. It is spiritual. Now, I'm not going to go in, because I've inferred this. It has come up in many of your prayers. What is our part? We have to see our condition. We have to desire to change. There's humbling aspect. If we look at Jesus, we, again, taken back to the source of humility. If you will humble ourselves, the Lord will see from heaven. He will come in. The communication is restored. But we don't even have the humility. But we could go through the verses in Philippians 2:8. Jesus emptying himself, becoming humble. So he's our humility. He's the source. It's not something that we have to cook up. It's not something where we sit in the back row. Brother Way, I love his testimony. I was with him in Houston for a number of years. He's the father of our daughter-in-law, Gloria. And went to the Lord 2013 after a wonderful ministry. But in his testimony, he got so excited when he found the Lord. He saw something about humility, and he thought humility was sitting on the front row. So he'd go down there, and he sat very piously. And then he thought, no, it's the first will be last, so I need to sit on the back row. So then he went to the back row. And the whole time that I knew him, he sat in the middle row. He became a brother. We have to pay the price. There's something sacrificial. We sang it this morning. I surrender all. We sing that at baptismal services. We sing it at gospel meetings. It's something that you and I have to sing every day. And that's a secret. That's really, there's this yield in us. And when we don't yield, we repent. And that's another part. On our part, is repenting. The more we go on with the Lord, the more we're walking in the light, what does light do? And where do we have to respond? Repent. The more we go on with the Lord, the more we will repent. The more we will have to say to our spouse, forgive me. Because the Lord is shining greater light. And how great is that light? Infinite. It gets brighter and brighter and brighter. And so it's a no-ending thing. Until we're changed to glory to glory. All the pieces of the puzzle come together through this wonderful thing. There's the asking. There's the being intentional, being specific, inquiring of the Lord, confessing with our mouth. I love that. Romans 10:9-10. If we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ has been raised, or that God has raised Christ from the dead, we will be saved. And again, this is a continual thing. All through the day, there is this type of response to the Lord. This is a key verse that we need to become familiar with, so that and become real to us. Obedience, taking every thought captive. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honorable, whatsoever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. This is a great barometer of what we watch and what we hear. What goes in our being, what we expose ourselves to. what our children are exposed to. Continue. That is Philippians 4:8. Idle talk, wandering eyes. You say often, well, I don't watch pornography. It can be the newspaper. It can be a good magazine. It can be good housekeeping. And our mind. Look at this recipe. Look at this home. And it takes us away. The most subtle thing. The Lord actually, the enemy meets us wherever we are. We all have different personalities, certain preferences, predilections, propensities. And the enemy, on his little dossier of each one of us, he keeps track of those things. And now, 4 years down the line, do this, do this, do this, and Dale will go off the rails here. Now, we're not to be alarmed. Take it right back to the Bible. We're hidden in Christ. Can't touch. But it's the only way through. Only. There's no, it's not going to Bible school. It's not going to retreats. And you can go to 5 retreats a year and conferences. These are, as we said last night, these are wonderful opportunities to refocus, set our compass, see what the Lord's on his heart. But it's learned and carried out and becomes a testimony Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, throughout the week. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, there is prayer and fasting, praising sacrificially, abiding in me, forsake not the assembly. In the assembly, and that's where we get into corporate. And here's one of our greatest protection. There's encouragement. There's accountability. There's covering. There's a building together. A key word, building. Is there building? There's only one way we can build. And that is, first of all, Dale has to be having a communion with the Lord. And then I am building material. And to the degree another person in our vicinity, might be in our family, is connected with the Lord, then there can be building. Because building is very simple. God's love in Dale, and God's love in another brother, starting even with my wife, God's love in Helen. Agape love, forgiving love, and then there can be building. Without it, there is absolutely no building. It'll always be like taking the same poles of a magnet. They resist. There's only one thing that attracts: Christ with Christ. God with Christ. We saw the relationship. Christ in me, Christ in you. If Christ is not and is in the other person and resisted, we'd fall on our knees. And we pray. And we're not critical. We pray for that person. I'm going to sum this up. There's so much more that can be said by using the gospel according to David, Psalm 23. It's in those 6 verses, it's so interesting that David, probably as a lad, not necessarily an old man, had so wonderfully, and only the Holy Spirit could do it, could put the full orb gospel in those 6 verses. The Lord reminds me of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God, the Lord, is my shepherd. He is the only one that will bring us in to this intimacy. We are dumb sheep. We will always be dumb sheep. What makes us sheep that's producing fruit and a lot of wool is hearing the voice of the shepherd. Or otherwise we'll be like, not the 99, but the one, whoop, off the precipice. And that's where most of us live, falling off or having to be picked up. And a lot of our trouble is self-induced because we're not hearing the, and we get ourselves into health issues, we get ourselves into job problem issues, we get our marriage, it gets into problem because we do not know the Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd knows everything and the sheep know nothing. And as long as we keep that awareness, moment by moment, we don't try to get 25 hours in a day. There's plenty of time. The word busy, I'm so busy, that word just evaporates. Jesus was never busy. But in Mark we see he was immediate. He redeemed the time. But he wasn't out of breath. Because he was on God's timetable. I think one of the most beautiful examples of God's timetable is you could do a tide, what do they call it, tide table of the tide that goes in and out. You could do it in 2050, and you could take a particular place on the East Coast or West Coast, and you can say, where will the tide be on January 1st, 2050? And the astronomer would say, well, it'll be at this foot right there. That's God's timetable. And if it's that for the tide, do you think there's enough time for us? Do you think God can order our steps if we let him order our steps? There he is. I shall not want. Now that is a mouthful. Where does rejoicing come from? By not wanting. Where does peace come from? Not wanting. How loving one another. Patience come from? There's no want. The shepherd has everything. What does he have? First thing he has is rest. Makes me to lie down in green pastures. And sometimes it takes a long time for us to come to that place of rest. Rest is where we start the Christian life. That's why God initiated in the Old Testament. Stop. Or when he created, he stopped everything. He said, I rested. To give us the lesson right there. I've done the work. Now you're to rest. Come into the land. Your shoes won't wear out. You don't need anything. Don't worry about the water. Don't worry. I will give you perfect whole food. Nothing's ever been, Whole Foods has never come up with anything even like it. Rest. Green pastures. There's food there. There's protection there. There is rest in the mind, rest in the soul. Still waters. We constantly need resurrection life. It's to be a well of water welling up. It's supposed to be rivers. I love the way Lance says rivers. Rivers of living water. When? At a conference? No. Wednesday. Thursday. rivers of living water, perpetual resurrection life for our bodies. Romans 8:11. He gives life, resurrection life for our mortal bodies. This isn't eternity yet. Does not always give healing, but he always gives life in the midst of that problem. So there's a joy in our heart, though there might be severe pain. The Lord reigns. I might not even be able to say it because of the pain, but the Lord lives. I've shared with you before. Grew up in a home where my mother was an invalid. She raised 7 children from the couch. And instructed all of us what to do from the couch. Bibles all laying around there. When people would come to visit her, they came to console her. They all went away blessed. Who was the consolee and who was the consoler? Because she could be there in bed happy. Because she was filled with living water. He restores our soul. And we just spoke about it, repentance. We talk about fellowship there. It's mentioned 2 or 3 times in the first 7 verses. What's the 9th verse of 1 John? If we confess our sins, he restores our soul. No condemnation. We sang it. It's done. That's back. Don't go back there. It's over. No condemnation. We confess the lifeline. Communion has been restored. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. How many of you have tried to find the path of righteousness? What's the result if you find it? If you find the path, what's the result? Self-righteousness, if you find it. Every time it's self-righteousness. I can do, I'm going to write a book on this. I know how to raise kids. Someone came to me at CFC. In fact, I was walking in the auditorium. And she said, you need to write a book on raising kids. And I said to her, I already have. You have? And I got down. She was in the front row. And I got down on my knees. I said, it has one picture in it. It's of me, kneeling. That's it. There's only one way for us in this day. The children, at least my grandchildren, in the 12-year-old has to have his own computer. He gets his assignments. His assignments come home on the computer. This is a Christian school. This is fine. They do it all through high school. But something's got to guard against that. And you can't guard that all the time. But God can. Now, we have to be prudent as parents. The Lord gives us ways, things that we need to do at each age. But then when they're 16, 17, 18, 19, there's one page in the book. Fall on our knees and pray. This will make a husband and wife. Praying to come together. Because prayer isn't just, Lord help. And we're living unholy lives. And I'm barking at my wife. And she's nagging me. There has to be oneness. And when that oneness is there, we are led in the path of righteousness. And the Bible tells us for ourselves, for our children, and their children. And we have to see those promises in Isaiah. And the Bible is filled with those. It gives us, when we pray, power, meaning, determination. And that is the only way we're going to go through, because we go through the valley of the shadow of death. Death encroaches all around us. Depressing things in our own life. Health issues. When you're told that this is terminal, that can be a depressing thing. Unless the Lord says, I take you through death. Every time, He takes us through. Even if we die. Father Neve says it's just like walking from one room to another. That's what death is all about. Absent from this body, present with the Lord. Being ready right now so we can make that step. Paul couldn't tell the difference. Do I die? Well, I'll be present with the Lord. Nothing wrong with that. But this, of course, has to be dealt with. And then we go through. I said to the Lord, Lord, you gave me so many promises about my wife living, and Dana wrote, and Ernie wrote, and they had promises, or not, you know, just encouragements out of the scripture when they were having their quiet time regarding. So about a week after Ann died, I, Lord, how about those promises? And the Lord almost audibly spoke. I asked the question again. I thought you were going to take her through death. And he said, I did. She's with me. And it forever settled it right there. Done. Oh. See? Oh, what was I thinking? Earth. Physical. Temporal. We're in a heavenly kingdom. Through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff. Now this rod and this staff is what he's going to nudge us with tomorrow. And this staff. A little encouragement here. A little whack here. Oh, what? What things? Why am I uptight? Why am I sweating in the track, waiting for this traffic light? Why am I getting antsy? Gunning, you know, in the old day, we had to put it in the clutch end, so you just, Can't do that anymore. The rod and the staff. Colossians 3:15. We're to be at peace. And when we get a little tight, a little sweaty, that's the Lord saying, you're not at rest. Come back to the pasture. Come back here. Pay at a table before me in the presence of thine enemies. Children of Israel, as we saw this morning, Psalm 78:19, cynically, can the Lord provide a table in the wilderness? Yes, he can. And we are in a greater wilderness than those children of Israel ever was. Much more subtle. It's incredible. But the Lord is, you see, he's putting the last parts on his church. And there's a lot of intricate things that he never could do in the Old Testament. Test. Prosperity test. It's a big test. The biggest test that Joseph had probably in Egypt was Potiphar putting the head of the house. I'm taking off. You take over. And Joseph could have said, hey, I'm chief around here. But he didn't. He passed that test. He passed Potiphar's wife test. And then he passed the prison test. And then the throne. And that's where the Lord wants each one of us. On the throne. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The Lord, the Alpha. The Father. Goodness and mercy, the Omega, following us. We're boxed in. These are the bookends. Stay within that parameter of the full gospel in Psalm 23. And we'll live and abide in the presence of the Lord. Father, we're thankful that your Son did just that. We're thankful that now the Holy Spirit is given back to us to indwell us, to guide us, to lead us, to stop us, to keep us, Lord, in Christ. Save us from trying to save ourselves, because you've already saved us. We take your word. Again, I thank you, Father, for each one of these brothers and sisters. Now, as we all go back to our homes, our own gatherings, where there's a lot of woes, but you know them better than we do, and you have the answer. May we cooperate with you as we walk with you in the light. In Jesus' name, amen.